It is a privilege to be here once again, preaching for you guys. Today we'll be resuming our series on the book of Joshua. And today's passage comes from Joshua chapter 3. If you're using one of the Pew Bibles, you can find this on page 225. Joshua chapter 3. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he said, and he and all of the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall, moreover, command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, will rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of the harvest, and waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down toward the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Back in chapter 1, Joshua told the people, within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan and to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And now it is finally here. It is finally time for Israel to enter the promised land. God has given them the go-ahead, and this is the moment that Israel has been waiting 40 years. The land that was promised to their ancestor, Abraham, will finally be theirs. The land that they left Egypt for, that they may no longer be slaves. The land that is to bring them rest from their travels. It is ready to receive them. And all that is in their way is this river. And yet, at the same time, this is a huge obstacle. The river at any point and time in the year would be difficult for the whole nation to ford, let alone during the rainy season, when the waters of the river are their highest point. Knowing Israel and their past, it is almost expected that there would be doubt in their minds, doubt that they would possess this land. And yet, you do not see any of that doubt in today's passage. Instead, in today's passage, you see Israel stepping out in faith in the promises of the Lord. They follow the leadership He has set before them in Joshua and his officers. And Israel obeys the Lord's commands as He goes ahead of them by the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan and leads them Himself into the Promised Land. The reward for Israel is great as they step out into faith and follow God. Likewise, you, brothers and sisters, are to step out in faith in the promises of God, following your leader, the Lord Jesus, as He has gone ahead of you into that rest that has been promised to the church and to those who confess faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. As you look at today's passage and look at Israel, you see three ways in which you can feel confident to step out in faith and to follow Christ. First, step out in faith because He has provided a way. In today's passage, Israel arises early in the morning and sets out to come to the shore of the Jordan River. At this point, the Lord has not made a single mention of how they're going to cross this river. And yet, there's no questioning, no grumbling, no doubting, no mention of fear during these 3 days. In their travel from Shittim to the Jordan, it is estimated that they walked 10 miles, and yet still no doubt. It is not until they are about to actually cross the Jordan the next day that Joshua tells the people how this will be accomplished, how the Lord will provide. He says in verse 13, "It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap." And this really speaks to how this generation has learned to trust the Lord. Their fathers who died in the wilderness witnessed one of the greatest and most well-known wonders that God has ever accomplished, the parting of the Red Sea. And yet, they constantly complained and doubted that they would ever enter the land. But now, this new generation has remembered the promises and all that the Lord has done for their fathers. And they trust that God will provide a way. And what a miraculous way it is. As mentioned before, the Jordan would be hard enough to ford when the river was at its low point, with all that the nation of Israel would be taking with them. Wagons, tents, animals, their families. But our author mentions that this was during the rainy season and that the Jordan River was full. From verse 15, "For the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of the harvest." The river is full, which means more water, rushing faster, and making any attempt to cross quite dangerous. Personally, this brings to mind of this creek back home. For those who know the area, it's French Creek. And every year, when the snow begins to melt, the river rises an incredible amount. Houses on the bank that are built on stilts and would normally be fine would be at risk of flooding. And several roads that cross over the creek would be closed for weeks. I remember one year specifically, I was at the school. Between us and the school was a football field and several baseball fields. And the river had risen so much that it was now lapping at the school building and completely flooding all those football fields and baseball fields. And it didn't just flood, but it could easily pull cars that were trying to cross over it into the river, as my one friend experienced. And so likewise, the Jordan is not just full, but it is dangerous. And yet, God commands the priest carrying the ark to step into this rushing river. A dangerous task that the Lord does not come through. And yet in faith, they do indeed step out into the river as they trust in the Lord to perform a similar miracle that he did for their fathers. This rushing and flooding river is cut off so the riverbed downriver becomes dry enough and remains that way long enough that the whole nation of Israel could pass over. From verse 16, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. God provided a miraculous way for his people as they stepped out into the river in faith, remembering the promises and what God had done for them before. Likewise, do you, the church, need to remember all that God has accomplished for the church and how God has rewarded those who have followed him and have stepped out in faith in his name? Not just the miracles that had been accomplished in Scripture, but all that he has done throughout church history for the sake of his people. What he did to protect the ancient church from heresy and foreign powers. How he brought about the Reformation and renewed interest in knowing and discerning his scriptures. Even looking at your own lives to see how God provided for you and how he brought you to Christ. God provides a way to follow him. And in faith, do you need to step out, hear his voice, hear his commands, and follow the Lord. Second, you need to feel confident to step out in faith because Christ has gone before you. In verse 7, the Lord says to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you." In this verse, the Lord reaffirms the rightful place of Joshua as the leader of Israel. He affirms that Joshua is the one the Lord has chosen to lead them into the promised land and to subdue the nations inhabiting the land. In this passage, Joshua is a type of Christ, a man who points to the one who is to come as the perfect leader. But as with all mortal men, even those who have been chosen by God, they are not perfect. Joshua does not have the power to control the river, nor is he the one in control of Israel's destiny, or their fate, but rather it is the Lord. And so rather than Joshua leading the charge into the new land, the Lord himself goes before Israel. From verses 10 to 11, Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan." The ark of the covenant is not just some object, but rather it represents the presence of God amongst his people. when the priests enter the water with the ark, it is to represent God himself entering the water as he goes before Israel and leads them. He puts himself in the path of the troubles that would otherwise fall upon Israel. Neither Joshua nor any other man is good enough to truly lead the Lord's people. No one can truly lead and provide for Israel or the church except the Lord himself. It is he who cuts off the waters. It is he who has provided for Israel all these years. And it will be him who truly subdues the nations of the land before them. No mere man can accomplish this task of leadership. No man can go before Israel and blaze a path for this people but the Lord himself. And it is for this reason the Lord sent his Son, Christ Jesus. Because no man had the ability to lead the Lord's people except the Lord himself, your God and the God of Israel became incarnate, that he may stand in our place, that he may go ahead of the church as it marches forth to the promised rest of the heavenly realms, that they may be ready to receive his people. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verses 2 to 3, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Christ goes ahead of the church, blazing the path for his people, that they may enter into the kingdom of God. Not only that, but the path that Christ puts forth is not just a way, but is the only way. Just as the path the Lord made in the river was the only way to cross the Jordan, so is Christ the only way into the promised rest of the kingdom of God. Later, in the same chapter of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." It is only by following Christ as the chosen one of God and as God himself that anyone can enter promised rest. Only by following the one who is Lord of all the earth. And that leads us to our third reason that you can be confident to step out in faith. It is because the Lord Christ has been made King of all things. While the Lord leads his people and makes his presence known amongst them through the ark, he also reminds them of who he is, the Holy One of Israel. In verse 4, he commands Israel that there is to be a distance between them and the ark. From verses 3 to 4, "And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits in measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Just to put that into perspective, 2,000 cubits is about 3,000 feet. The rest of Israel, besides the Levitical priests, were supposed to keep a distance of over half a mile from the Ark of the Covenant to emphasize the holiness of the Lord. Within the past couple months in Sunday school, Marlon went over the story of Uzzah, who was assisting in transporting the ark into Jerusalem, admittedly haphazardly. And while they were doing so, the ark began to fall, and he reached out and he touched it, hoping to stabilize it. And yet, We read from 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. While the Lord is a personable God who dwells amongst his people, you must not forget his holiness and his power over creation. He is not a God like the gods of the foreign nations, whom those nations serve falsely in hopes that they will be blessed. No, he is an all-powerful God who reigns over the whole earth. Again, Joshua says in verse 13, "It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap." The second time you see the word Lord in this verse in Hebrew is the Hebrew word Adonai, which can also be translated master, ruler, or even owner. All of these words describe the position of the Lord over the earth. By this power, he provides a way for his people, telling the mighty waters of his to stop flowing, to build up. Truly, he is the holy master of the earth. And so too must you remember that Christ, being the Lord himself, is Lord of all the earth. In Matthew 28:18, Christ says, "All power has been given unto me." It is by this power and authority that you can feel confident in the paths and commands that the Lord has given you. Through faith in him and his promises, can you rest assured that your King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in control of all things. If you recall back to Joshua 1, you may remember the phrase that is repeated several times in that passage. Be strong and of good courage. However, it was noted that it is not by your own power that this strength and courage comes about, but rather it is something that is given to you, much like faith. Faith is a gift that points you to the Lord and to Christ, who is the Lord. And it shows you that in all things he is in charge, that he is fighting for you, that his promises are for sure. Israel, at this point, has now entered their promised land, and so will you when that day comes. But until then, you are called to step out in faith, to follow the commands of God, to work towards the return of Christ and his kingdom. When you step out in faith, it has nothing to do with you, but it is a sign of the work of God in you, and a trust that has been distilled in you, that one day you will enjoy rest and joyfully serve the Lord until that day. When there are obstacles, by faith you know the Lord will provide. Let's pray. Dear holy and gracious God, we thank you for all the blessings you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for the faith that you have given us. We thank you for the confidence that we have in knowing that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the ruler of the whole earth, has the power to save, power to provide. We just ask now that you continue to build up confidence in us, to distill trust in us, that we may know that we can go ahead and step out in faith, proclaiming your word to the whole earth and living by your commands. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.